Hello again. Thank you, Lisa and team, for the song. I've sat there and listened to majesty. Did you picture God? Did you picture Jesus when you were singing majesty? The imagery can be pretty profound. But as we carry through with the balance of this service, if you would bow your heads. Most loving, wonderful God, in your triune glory, you picture perfection, you show us love, you care for us in our lives on a daily basis. Whether we are cognizant and aware or not, you're still there. You still love us, you care for us. Thinking about the blessing on Millicent, her mom, cousin, and it is such a joy to see this coming around full circle with Mac. The joy of sharing your love in so many wonderful ways. And God, as we go through the message that you have, let each one of us hear it as it's intended to each one, that you would ratchet up the hearing and the connection within each one of us. Thank you, God, and we ask for your blessing in Christ's name. Amen. This particular day is the last Sunday of the Christian calendar, called Christ the King Sunday. And as this kind of laid out, I thought, what a blessing we are having on this particular day. The blessing of a child, a baptism, opportunity to share in a meal that has been provided by you because of your blessings. The events of what you do on a daily basis has come. You know, Jeff prepared, but it was provided by God. On this special last Sunday of the Christian calendar, as we've kind of thought through the year, we've mentioned the events of Christ's birth, his life, death, resurrection. And we look forward to, as Greg was mentioning, his coming again. Next week, we enter the season of Advent, a time of expectant waiting and preparation to celebrate the nativity of Jesus in his second coming. That's next week. But this week we end the calendar with a wonderful blessing of focusing on Jesus. You know, let's kind of take and put yourself back in that first century. The Jews were there. Jesus was born. He was alive. Many anticipated the Messiah. Most didn't see Jesus as the Messiah. What did they see in Jesus? What was something that might have reflected to them? What did they think about? Who was Jesus to the Jews in the early first century? They were looking for a king, but he came as a lamb. He was still a king, but he came as a lamb. He didn't come to overthrow. They were looking for a warrior. He came as a peacemaker. They wanted to get out from under the ruling of Rome. They didn't want to be there. They wanted free from that. So they were looking to this coming king to overthrow. But Jesus came as a peacemaker. They were looking for a ruler. He came as a servant. They were looking for glory. He displayed humility. None of what they were looking for was panning out. Here was this person that was a peacemaker, a servant, humility. They were looking for status. They wanted to be their own country. They didn't want to be under Rome. They wanted that status. But he spent time with those that were broken and poor, those that were on the marginalized part of the world. Certainly, a king spending time with those that are marginalized, that wasn't what they were looking for. They were looking for judgment on humanity, on those Romans. He came with forgiveness. They were looking for liberation from Rome. He submitted to the Roman stake. He was crucified by Rome, in part. We're going to read from Luke verses 33 and through 43 from chapter 23. So just, it's about four slides long. So just listen, follow along. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself. If he's the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." If there was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who was hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation. And we indeed have been condemned justly for what we are getting, what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he replied, "Truly, you will be with me in paradise." Because of that scripture, that time, we literally can be right there. And I hope you can put yourself right at the foot of the cross, watching and observing the events that just transpired. You are there and you're watching Jesus with two criminals. The banter that was going on with those criminals. And we get a glimpse into who Jesus was and is. This past year, we've gone through Christ's birth, his love, his life, his teaching, his suffering. We have talked about that throughout the year. Without any one of those events, his birth, his death, his resurrection, none of this matters. You take one component out of the life of Jesus, and we have nothing. It's a complete package. It's a complete picture. And this was the final part of it from a human perspective. Let's revisit this section of Luke 23. You realize Jesus is on the cross. He's been beaten. He's crucified. He's hanging there literally by stakes holding him on. And what does he do? He's asking God to forgive those. In that moment, in that time, as he is hanging there, bleeding, life is pouring out of him. He is not thinking about the pain he's in, which he's human and he felt the pain. He's not thinking about anything physical except, "Father, forgive all of them, for they do not know what they're doing." If you heard that, would you have thought anything about that? Would you have thought, "Well, this is just the mumblings or the ravings of a man that is suffering immensely"? He focused directly to God for every human being because they do not know what they were doing. A king never forgets their mission. A true king always knows where they are at and what is required of them and what their mission in life is. He was the king that remembered the mission. He knew what his goal in this whole process was. When a person has hurt you, the last thing you may want to do is to pray for them or ask God to forgive them. And there isn't a person in this room that hasn't been hurt by somebody. That somebody that maybe was vicious or ugly or nasty or put you in a terrible spot. And I dare say the first thing that came to your mind was not to pray for them. To ask God to forgive them of what they were doing. But that's the model that Jesus did as he suffered on the cross. He prayed for other people. He prayed for each one. He wanted each one to be forgiven. And when people put you in that spot, stop and think about Christ suffering on the cross and asking for forgiveness. When someone does you wrong, remember to maybe ask God to bless them in this situation. Give them a bigger understanding all about what God wants and what he's doing. Through the love and forgiveness we have received, and we have received far more love and complete forgiveness than we could ever really realize. We can forgive others. We can pray for them. We can let God's Spirit move in us in touching other people's lives, regardless of what they've done. And we could probably spend days talking about the abuse, the negatives, the things that people have done to us. If we stopped, could we spend days talking about how much we've been blessed by God? If you put up a ledger, which one's going to win? The ledger that talks about the blessing and forgiveness from Christ to us is a lot longer sheet. That list goes on and on and on. So we have a tremendous blessing from our King. If there was ever a king the world did not recognize, it was Jesus. Those Jews didn't recognize Jesus for what he was doing. And I'm very guilty. There's days I don't. Hopefully it doesn't go on weeks and weeks, but it's easy to get caught up in the everyday life. And everyday life isn't full of joy and glorious wonder that we readily see. It is. But maybe it's the comment someone made about us. Maybe it was a letter that you received that was incredibly negative. Do we recognize the King that has come and changed the world, changed our lives? The sign saying Jesus was the King of the Jews that was posted above his head on the cross was meant as a mockery and a justification. The Roman government needed to be able to justify how they were crucifying this person, so they put up a sign that said in three different languages, the King of the Jews. It was also meant to mock the Jewish nation that they turned on him. You're standing there and you're visually seeing all of this happening in front of you. You're seeing the conversation. You're seeing the sign on the cross. You're watching this visual. I mean, this could be a script in a movie that you could see played out. As you read this, I hope your imagination takes full limits with this and you get to visually see what that looked like. Jesus turned his cross into a symbol of hope, peace, joy, and love. And the imagery of the cross here, do you see when you look at that Jesus dying, or do you see the hope and the peace and the joy and his ultimate love from that image? And that's an image people wear on necklace. You see it on all kinds of things. But does it bring to mind to you his love and that there is hope for the world, for each other. Jesus didn't have to prove his identity to anyone. He was the Son of God, the Son of Man. There are times that we go through life that we feel the burden of having to prove who we are, whether it's in a job we do, it's in comments that are made, whether it's in a position that we hold. There's always this self-justification that seems to come into play. Jesus never had to deal. That was not him. He knew who he was. There was no doubt in his mind. He didn't have to prove a thing. All he did was love other people, spend time with those that were marginalized. That's who Jesus was and is. We know who we are, children of the Father, servant of the true King. And I want you to pay attention to the last part of this sentence. Our way of living should show that we know who we are. And I hope each one of you takes that and puts that right in your heart. Is your life, the way you live, indicative of who you are? Do you know that you're a child of God? Do you believe it? Do you live it? Do you act it? Don't poke each other next to you. This is to you. This is individual to you. A king hears the cries of his people. A true king listens, and he cares for those that he serves. We're back on the crucifixion, and we're listening. Two criminals. One criminal is mocking Jesus. The other one tells him to stop. One is making fun, picking on, deriding him, condemning him, saying, hey, if this is who you really are, save yourself. And oh, by the way, save me too. The other one, and you got to realize, they're all three hanging by stakes on the cross. All have been beaten. All are watching, and literally their life flowing out of them. The pain and agony. And this conversation is going on. And the one says, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. He is the king. He is the savior. This man has done nothing wrong. Jesus put his own needs aside and serves another while on the cross. And what did he do? What did Jesus do? Did he just listen quietly in his pain? He's hurting. He's human. He feels everything, and he's aware of his circumstances. In that time, there's nothing that's getting past Jesus. He understands. He knows. And we're right there. We can visually see this. We can hear it. Jesus sees the man's heart and declares him not guilty as he repented. The criminal has said, you're innocent. We're guilty. Talking about the other member, we messed up. We deserve what we got. He didn't. Jesus was right there with him in suffering. He's right with you every day in your life. And if your day is a great and glorious day, guess what? He's right there with you, enjoying it, celebrating, enjoying whatever the glory is happening. If your day's kind of tough and the wheels fell off the wagon, you're not alone. Jesus is right there with you too. You have to realize, as a child of God, he is around you all the time, whether you want it or not. He won't interfere, but he will love you. He may save you from a horrible accident or a horrible decision, or he may not. I don't know. But he loves you. And he loves the situation. And if he was suffering and hurting on the cross for himself. He was hurting and suffering for the two that were beside him and all of us. He knew and he cared. The story of the criminal on the cross teaches us many things, the least of which is that God looks on the heart. One criminal's heart said, "If you're who you say you are, climb down off the cross, and by the way, heal me too, take me along." The other one is saying, "I know who you are. I don't deserve to be a part of who you are or be with you. Thank you for who you are." And Jesus could see in the hearts of both men. He knew what was going on. The story reminds us that the works are not necessary for salvation. Rather, they are the result of receiving the gift of salvation. There have been many that question his comment about, "You will be with me today in paradise." What a glorious thing to hear. What an awesome thing to be sitting and standing there and observing and knowing that when you die, you're with Christ. Now, he didn't do a whole lot of works for that. The works he had done put him on the cross and he was dying because of his sins against mankind and the Roman nation, the rulers. But Jesus could see what his heart was saying, and that's a bigger picture. God is willing to go to great lengths to reach out to us. No matter where you are, how fast you want to run away from God or run to him, he's willing to go whatever lengths you have. There's no point of our life that we can say, "God's not with me." Some of you, like Millicent, experienced being blessed as a baby and asking for that extra blessing of protection. And it has happened. And it continues to happen. He loves us all. He cares for each one of us. We are not alone in suffering, and each one of us will suffer. Sometimes a prayer doesn't get answered. Sometimes life comes out different than we'd asked for, and we suffer and we hurt. But you're not alone. Jesus is right there helping. Maybe it doesn't go away for a long time, if ever, but he's still there. You're never alone in your suffering. It reminds us that when we recognize the King, we are invited into the kingdom. As we live our lives, we make choices every day. Are those choices to mix it up with other people, to argue, to have fun on social media? I don't know. I've mentioned before, and I'm still, it just sickens me to know a lady and her husband, strong Christian people, strong value. But what comes out of their mouth on social media, considering our political world, is hatred. Absolute hatred. And they suffer. They have to be in so much pain. And they're not alone. Jesus is there. He understands. He loves them. I don't know the end of that story other than Jesus is involved in their life. Because we are invited into his kingdom. And as we think about next week, as we begin a new calendar, it's not just the nativity in 4 weeks. It's the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. Whether you believe it's going to happen or not, it will. And it is. And it's coming. And how awesome it will be to be there and to know that Jesus says, "Come, be with me in paradise." That's what his message is. He wants each one of us. Colossians 1:15-20. We will finish out the message with this scripture. He is the image of the invisible God, Jesus Christ, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. We're part of all things, so that means we were created through him and we were created for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, and making peace through the blood of his cross. Through the blood of Jesus Christ we have been reconciled. And it has brought us to a point in our life that we can know God loves and cares for us. A king that knows his mission. A king that never forgets. A king that never leaves us alone in our suffering. A king that loves us. And this day, this fourth Sunday, is also a day that we celebrate communion with him. I can't believe how everything lined up this day. So many unbelievable positives that are lining up. And this is probably the greatest of them all. The opportunity to remember Jesus Christ through the meal of communion, through the time together, for the opportunity to share and his love for us. As we take the time, and I would mention that all are welcome, it's an open table, there are no restrictions, to come in joy, in celebration, and but yet in reverence to what Jesus has done for us. Never forget that image that Luke talked about as we could literally be there and observe the conversation of Jesus and the two thieves, of his love for each one of us and how it was expressed. As you partake of this meal, remember. Father God, again, we are incredibly blessed. We are from different cultures, different avenues, different parts of the country, different areas, but God, you love each one of us. You care for each one of us. And this day you have blessed in so many special ways, and it continues. And at this time, this is a time to remember you and the sharing of the bread and the wine, the fruit of the vine. God, bless it. Help each one of us to listen to what you have said and are saying to each one, that it becomes very personal. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. The table is set. You may come as you are led.